I'm Andy Bates, part of the team here at KFUO. While you hear me on the air and in podcasts, I'm also part of the team that works behind the scenes to bring you the programs like this that you value. What you hear on the air and in podcasts is just the tip of the iceberg. Listeners like you generously support everything that makes radio and podcasts happen. Administration, cutting-edge technology, software, hosts, producers, and more. You make this happen. Can we count on you to continue this support? KFUO Share-a-thon, now through April 5th, is a great time to show your support and make a gift or make a plan to give for a whole year. Your generosity is important and appreciated, not just by the KFUO team, but by listeners who get to hear and enjoy Christ-centered programs every day. Will you make a gift today? KFUO.org/give. KFUO.org/give.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Jordan Harms.
And today we get to talk about a current issue happening in the state of Illinois. We'll take a look at HB 2827 with Pastor Heath Curtis in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Heath Curtis. He's president of the LCMS Southern Illinois District. Pastor Curtis, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Good to be with you guys.
I think this is our first conversation since newly elected and installed president for Southern Illinois District. Thanks for joining us today. And right after being installed, all kinds of interesting things happening in the state of Illinois.
For sure.
I know your fellow presidents, fellow districts in the state of Illinois are considering the current issues as well. Let's talk about Illinois HB 2827. Let's share with us a brief history of this.
So Illinois, as you know, has a supermajority Democrats in the legislature. And while, you know, many of my members here where I've served, you know, before being elected as district president, served a couple of rural congregations in North Madison County, you know, old blue dog Democrats, you know, pro-union guys, and, you know, just, you know, good country people, pro-union people. And man, have they gone through a sea change in the time that I've been here as the Democratic Party in Illinois has just shifted farther and farther and farther to the left, the woke agenda. Part of that, unfortunately, has been the state has taken anti-Christian stances. And now one of the representatives from up in Chicago, who is just known as, you know, being very antagonistic to Christians at every level of what folks call the culture wars, but what I'm just going to say is about public morality. So folks who are far down that leftward slide in the woke agenda in matters of public morality, now they're coming after Christians and how they're schooling their kids, whether that's via homeschool or via our Lutheran parochial schools. So this bill, so previous to this bill, now so still right now, because the bill has not been passed into law yet, and we'll talk about where it's at in the legislative process in a moment. But previous to this bill, Illinois is one of the best states for homeschoolers and for parochial schools. We have a lot of parochial schools, Lutheran and Roman Catholic, all across Illinois. Here in our Southern Illinois district, we have 91 congregations. We have 21 K-8 schools. We have 9 more standalone preschools. A lot of our K-8s also, of course, have preschools with them. And we have 3 high schools. And right now in Illinois, if you don't want to, your parochial school doesn't have to have any connection to the state. No registering, no recognition. They have some voluntary programs where if a school says, so basically it's a lightweight accreditation thing, but it's more there is a courtesy to a parochial school board that would say, hey, would make your parents feel better, like if we said, yeah, yep, they're doing it right, and you can do that voluntarily, but you don't have to do anything. And then likewise for Christian parents who wish to be homeschooling in Illinois, no requirements, no onerous reporting to the state or anything. I've got buddies in Iowa and Nebraska. Those are tough homeschooling states. The state really gets up in your business in those states. And right now, Illinois is kind of a bastion of freedom. Well, they're coming for our freedoms. And this bill, House Bill 2827, is just aimed right at the heart of homeschoolers. It would require parents to register with the state. It makes them susceptible if they don't register to the state, to the truancy laws. I mean, it refers in the bill. You have to keep clicking because the bill says, you know, it'll refer you to the school code. And so if you don't follow all these things we want you to do now, the end of the line is a jail, you know, 30 days in jail, $500 fine for not filing our paperwork and et cetera, et cetera. Originally, the bill was going to have all of that stuff on Lutheran schools as well. They got a lot of angry feedback on that. They did kind of a tactical retreat, but it's not a retreat because all the stuff is still there. Lutheran schools would be forced to register with the state. And I guess we're already into it because you're letting me ramble, which is so kind of you. But yeah, but I mean, it launches right into, I want to get the exact language about what, you know, what our schools would have to keep track of and then report to the state. So for our Lutheran schools, so this would be as of August 1, 2026, all non-public elementary and secondary schools in the state of Illinois shall register with the State Board of Education on an annual basis. And when you register, what do you have to do? Well, first of all, the registration, it says, shall be completed in conformance with procedures prescribed by the State Board of Ed. So what'll those be? Well, the State Board of Ed is run by an absolute, you know, juggernaut of the woke agenda people. And who knows what they'll come up with to try to make Lutheran schools and Catholic schools' lives miserable. And then information required shall include, now, right, the school board, state school board can do other things, but it's at least going to say you have to be in compliance with federal and state laws regarding health examinations, immunization, attendance, length of term. Here's a big one, non-discrimination. Well, guess what? In Lutheran schools, we discriminate all the time. We discriminate good from evil. We discriminate on the basis of religion. You bet we do. One of the very strong Lutheran schools, for example, in our district, they have a policy. First, we're here to serve the kids of our congregation. If we still got room, we're here to serve our fellow Lutherans from the area. If we still got room, we want to serve our neighbor Christians in the area. So they put preferences on who gets in the door based on where you go to church. Well, that's discrimination. And then, and this is the one that's very interesting to me, in the text of the bill here, it also says if you register with the state, you also must give assurances that the school will not prohibit certain hairstyles. So that this gives you just a bit of the flavor of the kind of things that the state could do with this. It would just, and if you say, oh, no, wait a minute, surely, like everybody knows the religious schools get to discriminate on the basis of religion. Surely, you know, First Amendment, blah, 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 blah. Oh, sure. I know that's true. But, right, the procedure, the process is the punishment. So they could pass something knowing, just forcing us to fight it in court. Right? So they could pass something that says, hey, every, you know, in our little school board form, you know, you've got to say that you don't discriminate on the basis of religion. And then we say, well, I mean, we can't do that. I mean, we do. This is a Lutheran school. And they say, well, too bad. And then we say, well, doesn't that break the First Amendment? And then they say, well, see you in court, bro. And then we've got to spend umpty thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds, millions of dollars fighting them in court. So this bill just opens up the worst kind of Pandora's box to allow the state to get up in our business in order to punish us, right? The point is to just simply make our lives miserable to drive as many students as they can away from our schools. Because frankly, I think these folks, the powers that be in Illinois, are afraid that the people in Illinois are finally going to look around at our neighbors in Wisconsin, in Indiana, now in Tennessee, in Kentucky, where there is school choice, there are school voucher programs, and they know our schools are run better than their schools. Now, again, I have wonderful parishioners who work in the public school system. They're hardworking, godly people. They are doing their best, and my heart goes out to them to work in an environment that can sometimes be very hostile to Christian witness, for sure. So I know these people and I love them. It's also, you know, it's not 100%, but it's a super majority of Lutherans that I know who work in public education send their kids to Lutheran schools. It's just no secret that, especially when you get into, you know, there, let's be honest, there are a lot of public school districts that don't have a good reputation. And those people who run those bad school districts, they are afraid of Lutheran Catholic schools and their success and how well we educate. And so, yeah, this is uniformly bad. They're trying to push it under the guise of, you know, oh my goodness, oh no, there are no rules for homeschoolers. We've got to, you know, clamp down on these rules. So I know we're getting close to our break. After the break, I can talk more and Jordan can talk more with his experience with the homeschool angle. And we have a lot of homeschoolers as well. I've taught for many years for Wittenberg Academy, which is a Lutheran, you know, homeschooling, you know, online high school. So I do know some of that connection as well, and that's very important. But especially in my new role as the president of our district and looking after our 30 plus schools here, that's my number one concern. And make no mistake, this is called the Homeschool Act. But this is not just about the, you know, my small minority of people who small but growing minority of people who homeschool. This is absolutely a dagger aimed at the heart of Lutheran schools.
We are talking with the Reverend Heath Curtis, president of the LCMS Southern Illinois District, about Illinois HB 2827. We'll learn more about that in just a moment as we return right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Eddie Bates.
I'm Jordan Harms.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason. To use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Jordan Harms.
Today we're talking with Reverend Heath Curtis, president of the LCMS Southern Illinois District, about Illinois House Bill 2827 concerning homeschooling and private schools in the state of Illinois and the impact it would have on those schools.
So, Pastor, you talked a lot about Lutheran schools, which is interesting because you kind of closed out saying that this act is called the Homeschool Act, which is, as someone who was homeschooled through high school and was one of five who was homeschooled and knows plenty of homeschoolers, that's an incredibly misleading title. Do you think that sort of, and I'm going to use the word attack here because that's pretty much what it sounds like is happening from the state end? Because one of my original questions was, where is this coming from? But you answered that with, well, this is actually just trying to slowly get more control as the state and drive students and parents crazy to the point where public school is the only option, thus spending more money. It's always about money, right? Getting more money to the state. So that motivation makes sense for me personally from a, you know, a heart of deceit sort of angle. But would you say that maybe the Lutheran schools, private schools, is being served, they're serving as sort of a stepping stone for the state to get a hold there and then move on to personal homes and homeschooling? And what does that look like for families at home if this bill were to pass? And even now, the pressure it might be applying to the growing number of homeschoolers, what does that look like for them? Is it an incentive to do better or is it more fear-mongering kind of?
Yeah, no, it's a, so this bill is definitely a two-pronged attack. So you can see where they're, you can see what their plan is for Lutheran schools by looking at what's already in the bill for homeschoolers. So I started off with, this bill is an attack on Lutheran schools. Look, you know, this registration requirement, all these words in there that you could drive a bus through, the process is the punishment. Well, how much farther might it go? I know how much farther it might go because right on the bill, it requires that homeschoolers basically, you know, keep a portfolio for all their kids. And I'm sure your mom and dad did this for you, right? They wanted you to have a good education, that they kept your work and everything. But now the state's going to require each parent to keep this portfolio of all their work, notes on all their curriculum, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that the state can inspect at any time. And then, of course, the state, right, we're just into this Kafka-esque, well, you know, you didn't hand in your TPS 39 report. You know, you didn't cross this T and dot this I. I don't like this book that you chose to use for history because it's got too much George Washington and not enough, you know, pick your woke character from history du jour, whatever the case may be. So this bill, I mean, it's onerous requirements on parents. And it opens them up to this, you know, intrusive, you know, agent of the state coming into your home, you know, judging you, judging your paperwork, judging your children. And behind it all is if you don't fill out our forms, if you don't keep whatever, 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 then your homeschool is not an acknowledged homeschool of the state. Therefore, your children are truant. Therefore, you are now subject to the school codes. This is a technical term, the school code of Illinois, chapters 26 and 27, which are all about truancy. And so the truancy officer in your school district, which if you're a rural school district, that might be the superintendent or his designee. If you're an urban school district, it might be an individual, you know, officer. They have you know, certain law enforcement duties. And they knock on your door and they deliver a slip. And if your kid doesn't report to school the next day, you're now, again, you can read all about it if you want. Chapters, I believe this is chapter 26 and 27 in the school code, about all the penalties for truancy and how, yeah, you as mom or dad can go to jail because it's essentially, right, it always is government overreach, papers, please, right? Where are your papers? Did you file your papers with the state? And if you didn't, and I say papers, please, and you don't have your papers the right way, then we just escalate until it's finally, yeah, fines and jail time. So that's what's already in the bill for homeschoolers. So again, they're trying this kind of, you know, camel in the nose of the tent business, thin edge of the wedge under the door for the Lutheran and other parochial schools. Of, well, we just want you guys to do this register thing. Oh, well, yeah, yeah. And of course, we also want to know that you're, you know, enforcing our laws for, you know, just a few things, hairstyles, immunization records, and non-discrimination. Oh, and of course, you might have to take us to court to find out what that means, because at any time we can just pull your card. So all the homeschoolers would have to send in, and the school superintendent would be like, you know, keeping the permanent records for your homeschooler. But then the Lutheran schools are also having to send in a list of students, names, addresses, parents, immunization records. It's a total and complete statist power grab. And even though, so the text of the bill is maybe not quite so bad right now for parochial schools as it is for homeschoolers, I don't buy it for a minute. You can tell that they want to do this for everybody. They want to make every one of our Lutheran schools keep, report, mail in all their records to the state so the state can have it. On Monday, I was called into a meeting with Roman Catholic leaders, Lutheran leaders, other Protestants with schools all throughout the state of Illinois. And we talked with the Faith and Family Coalition lobbyist. And he said that based on experiences, some places have already had in Chicago, one of the things they really fear with this handing in of names and addresses is that these homes will be flooded with mailings, phone calls, and even visits from school staff from the school district, kind of just pushing the public school, you know, and this kind of, you know, intimidation by mass communication and directed communication, you know, dear homeschooling parents, you know, did you know that, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, and the lobbyist also said, and this is why I'm happy to do this and any other media right now, our lobbyist also said, this is 50-50 if it passes right now. So it is really time, if for anybody listening to this in Illinois, or if you know somebody in Illinois, now is the time to absolutely flood your House representative, your Illinois House representative, with phone calls asking them to oppose House Bill 2827, the Homeschool Act, to oppose that. And don't be put off if your local rep, you know, and well, they're a Democrat, it's a Democrat bill, it's not going to do any good to talk to them. That's not true on this one. There is bipartisan opposition to this bill. There are already a lot of Democrats who have said, no, we're going to vote against this because our people are against it so much. So it's the only way this bill passes is if the supermajority of Democrats is super enough. So wherever you are in Illinois, I sent a link to Andy and Jordan, and they'll put that up along with this somewhere online. Click that link. You put in your address. It sends your email automatically to the correct representative. Super easy. And this is an all hands on deck call for everybody in Illinois who is for homeschooling, who is for Lutheran schools, who's for Catholic schools, who's just against government intrusion into the church and into the home. We need you to contact your House rep and tell them vote no on House Bill 2827.
So taking action certainly is important. Jordan, if I recall correctly, when you were a homeschool student, this is something that we faced, something similar in Missouri, correct?
Yeah, that's something I was going to add on to what Pastor said here, is that I sort of, you know, not to sound super old and crotchety, but I've lived through this as a homeschool student, and I will say to the residents of Illinois, it is not a place you want to be as a resident. We, as kids in our own home, were trained by our parents and by our homeschool co-op, you mentioned you used to teach online, with sort of all the tools necessary to talk to that person who would come to our door asking for papers. Because that was a real possibility for a few years there, where we had to provide answers. And these people are sneaky. They didn't just walk up and say, oh, this is just a due check-in. It was a, oh, hi, is mom or dad home? But they didn't care about that. What they wanted to ask you, a minor, a child at the door, was, how many hours do you think you do school? Do mommy and daddy teach you math? What do you know about history? And it was like these pointed, scary questions that we had firsthand accounts of other students in our district in St. Charles, Missouri, being asked these things, basically teeing up, how can we get child protection services to come here next? Exactly. How can we put the parents on the line? We literally had a piece of paper taped to the wall next to the front door with a series of canned answers to give government officials. And this is like, as a 10-year-old, I was looking at these things. That's not something you want to think about when you are learning about the world and the way that you're, you know, insert political affiliation or religious affiliation parents here want to teach you in their own home. And homeschooling looks very different from family to family.
Sure.
Every kid learns differently.
Well, from day to day. Yeah. Exactly. Where they knock on the door when three kids have got the stomach flu. You know,
exactly. Yeah, it's like, are you guys learning? No. Yeah. And like, you know, we learned in different ways, just varied from sibling to sibling, you know? And that's the beauty of parochial schools as well and private schools, is understanding that everyone learns at different rates, has strengths, has weaknesses. We all have an individual nature, all that. That's something that homeschooling takes into account. And it's not going to look like a perfect five little kids sitting down with their age-appropriate lessons. Chances are the younger kids are learning at a higher level and the older kids are learning something unrelated. It was a scary place to be. So that's my warning and encouragement to Illinois residents, to echo you. This is something you need to fight, because it is absolutely a take a tiny step now and then see how far we can take it.
And again, the step is already really big with that big non-discrimination word right in their text, already in the text aimed at Lutheran schools and homeschools both. This non-discrimination stuff, again, we discriminate versus good and evil. We say some things are good, some things are evil. And that, of course, is what the woke agenda is most angry at Christianity about, that we stand up for what's morally right. So I'm sure there's language in Illinois law, wouldn't you think? There's language in Illinois law about sexual orientation and gender affirming and all that jazz. And you better believe they want to harass parochial schools and homeschools on just these angles. So as I said, absolute all hands on, please take the time if you live in Illinois. It's just easy. Click a link, put in your name and address, say, please vote no on 2827. I feel very strongly about this. You know, be very polite. Thank you, representative, and sign your name. It'll take you less than 2 minutes, but it could have a life-changing effect on the millions.
Yes, absolutely could. Illinois. Yeah, it adds up.
We'll certainly share the links in the program notes today with the podcast at kfuo.org. You can find more information there about HB 2827 in the state of Illinois. Our guest today, the Reverend Heath Curtis, president of the LCMS Southern Illinois District. Pastor Curtis, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Jordan Harms.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.